Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct. Coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke. You don't know history. You're not woke. Unless and until you know history, you're going right to the front lines of history in the making, and there was a lot of it made over the last 3 days, I'll tell you that. I want to start with the main story. Kevin McCarthy now shinned his way up the greasy pole, and he's now the Speaker of the House by a whisker. By a whisker. He went through, what, 16 ballots? And towards the very end, the only way he got it is all the weirdos on the Freedom Caucus that had held out. First of all, 21 of them held out, then got down to six. And all they did was vote present. What that did was lowered the threshold of votes he needed to whatever he had. Say, I think it was 216. Hakeem Jeffries had 212, so he snuck in. In the process, he had to emasculate himself. Let me tell you what he did. Let's talk about some of the things he gave up, but more importantly, what the ramifications are of what he gave up. The ones that everybody kind of comments on, the ones that everybody pays attention to, that he gave away seats on the Rules Committee and other major committees to the Freedom Caucus, to the real weirdos, to people like Jordan, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Gates, Gosar, people of that ilk, people like Lauren Boebert, people of that ilk. The problem with that is, for instance, on the Rules Committee, that's the committee that really determines what gets sent to the floor. And you may say, come on, Matt. All right, who cares if it gets sent to the floor? Somebody proposes it. You have 212 or 13 Democratic votes because there'll be another Democratic seat when the special election is conducted shortly in the seat of the guy who died, and it's a Democratic district. So all we need is another four votes, and it'll get there. Well, El Rongo, that's incorrect. It doesn't even get to the floor to be talked about. It doesn't even exist until the Rules Committee and the Speaker let it get to the floor. That's the problem. And this guy, McCarthy, gave away seats on the Rules Committee. It's going to make it very, very hard. He made verbal promises and backed it up with this. Very, very hard to do anything in passing a budget, passing a debt limit increase, passing anything to do with taxes, anything. Number two, it's going to be much harder to pass everything like that I just said. And number three, he will let any individual member of the House bring a motion to vacate the chair, throw him out, anyone. Boebert can do it by herself. Gates can do it by himself. And the fear is, if all 213 Democrats go, yeah, that's right, they stand by it, he's going to have a vote, and he needs a majority. And if he does anything that ticks them off, that's what's going to happen to him. He gets the guillotine. He's also promised to pass and there's a lot of hypocrisy in this, a balanced budget in 10 years. Well, to do a balanced budget, you'd have to cut the military in half. You'd have to cut Social Security and Medicare in half, probably get rid of Medicaid. And what do you mean in 10 years? You may not remember this. Bill Clinton passed a balanced budget the last year of his presidency. He left his presidency in 2020. Balanced budget. How did he do it? Because very, very astute budgeting, spending, taxation. You might remember that earlier in that decade, the Republicans had said we're going to have the top rate, income tax rate, I think it was 34 or 5%. Clinton looked at it and said, well, if it's at 39%, which is fair. It's still a much lower tax rate than anywhere else in the civilized world. We can do it. Well, that's what happened. They got a balanced budget. The way McCarthy is going to balance the budget, according to these people, is to even cut taxes on the higher income people, then at the same time, cut defense, cut Medicare, social spending, cut Social Security. It's not going to pass. And even if it does pass in the House, it's not going to pass in the Senate. And they're simply going to play chicken. Okay, we have no budget. Well, we haven't had it. How long has it been since we've had a budget? They do everything by emergency decree. And even then, they fight right up till 5 p.m. of the day they have to shut the government down. They've shut the government down before several times. Newt Gingrich shut it down. Newt Gingrich shut it down. Ted Cruz shut it down. That kills us. It hurts our bond rating. It hurts a lot of things. People don't get paid. It disrupts the government. These people are economically illiterate. Well, what else did he give up? And this is one that is going to come back to haunt him. And then I'm going to go to the lines. I see both of you on the lines right now, and there are more. I'm going to take you and keep up with this. This is an important topic. He is putting in a new subcommittee to investigate the, quote, weaponization of the federal government, end quote, with unprecedented power to access any classified information, even the highest clearance classified information that normally is only given to the House Intelligence Committee. These clowns, these vandal clowns, and the new subcommittee are going to get them, and they're going to review ongoing criminal prosecutions against Trump, against Gymnasium Jim G.Y.M. Jordan, the new chair of the Judiciary Committee, who is in on the insurrection, who met with Trump to help gin it up. The people who are being investigated presumably now will be able to look at their files, see the investigation, and put a stop to it. Now, let me say this to the Republicans. El Rongo, it's not going to work. Why isn't it going to work? Because in a criminal prosecution, it's been law of this country for over 200 years that you don't just get access. So the only person who gets access to the files of the investigation, the only person, is the defendant once he's charged. And even then, under Brady v. Maryland, he's only supposed to be given exculpatory information. Most U.S. attorneys will say, okay, I'll open up our files so you don't claim later we didn't give you exculpatory information. Well, I got news for you. If no one has yet been charged, they ain't getting these files. And once they are charged, they will be given exculpatory information under Brady v. Maryland so they can do their defense. I don't think even this Supreme Court of the six tarantulas will upend 200 years of criminal procedure. But they are going to let the criminals, Jordan and Trump, pair of criminals who architected this insurrection to try to stop it because now they're in power. It's not going to work. We'll go to the lines, take you in order. We're going to start with Wisco Paul. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind Today. Wisco Paul.
Hey, good afternoon, Matt. I don't know how Jeannie from McClure watches C-SPAN. I never seen anything like it on Friday. We're in trouble. These guys are... Well, anyway, this Freedom Congress or Freedom Guys, whatever they call themselves, they're okay with shutting everything down. And that's very spooky because it costs a lot of money to shut the government down. Now, if I'm a Democrat, I'm not helping these people. This is what the Republicans voted for, and it's going to hurt everybody. I'm really fearful on this whole thing. I've never witnessed anything like this. This is history. So, and the investigation's coming and everything else. Matt, I guess you could just call them playing crazy, the Freedom Caucus. So with that, it costs a lot of money to shut the government down, correct? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, and I'll come into that in a second. We'll take the next caller. But in the meantime, when Ted Cruz shut it down, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, it cost $25 billion. These guys don't care about money. Let's be blunt. Walker didn't care when he gave a Chinese company $4.5 billion, turned down $1 billion in trains. They don't care about money. They easily are cheated. They get their hands on it, give it to their donors, and they lie about it. They're economically illiterate. Going to the lines. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Dick?
Well, Matt, I just went back and looked at something historically because I have too much time on my hands. You know, they always saying that you just can't work across the aisle with each other, these people. Maybe they should take a history lesson. From 1952 to 1995, that was 43 years, the Democrats controlled the House. There were 9 different presidents. The Republicans were in office 28 years of the 43. Seems to me a lot of things got done in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. Under 9 different presidents. And how crazy is that? I mean, the Democrats were in power 15 years of it as far as the presidency. But it entailed 9 presidents, and I just don't understand this. You know, I know that in the 50s I've read that Sam Rayburn and Lyndon Johnson controlled the House. But they did all kinds of things. Interstate Highway happened in the 50s. The 60s, things boomed. These people need to be showing this. And, you know, we can do these things, but we got to get rid of the kooks to do it.
Excellent comments. Yeah, and Dick, and I'm going to respond to you and Wisco Paul. Then we'll go back to the lines. Do not hang up. If for any reason we bump up on a break, so what? It's a short break. I'll get to you right after the break. But on both of those things, first of all, your last comment is exactly right. I mean, if you can work together, they had people in the Republican Party who worked with Rayburn and worked with Tip O'Neill later even into the 80s, and Reagan, and a lot got done. A lot got done the Republicans wanted done. These people now are not what I would call normal Republicans. They're not traditional Republicans. These people now, what they're doing is they're vandals. They're vandals, and they are trying to tear the country apart. And the last eunuch, believe it or not, in China lived into the 20th century. Isn't that sad? The guy's a eunuch. And suddenly he thinks nothing's going to change, and it changes. Well, now we have a new eunuch, and he is now the Speaker of the House, and these 5 idiots control him. They just control the guy, and they're going to weaponize this committee to investigate the people who are investigating their own criminality. On a quick break, stay on the line. Lines are open, 844-967-8924. Back after the break. Backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Now go right to the lines. 3 of you on the lines right now. Going to get to all of you. Do not hang up. Going to take you in order. First one is Andrew of Detroit, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today? Andrew of Detroit.
Hey, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. I'm not really worried about this bunch of clowns. With their investigations, like Hunter Biden, for instance, if he's done anything that might be questionable, just take the 5th like the rest of their, like their side did. You know, you got to play their game on their field. And wasn't it Ginger Rogers that said, yeah, try doing it backwards in heels. Well, maybe that's what the Democrats have to do now. And as far as shutting down the government, isn't there something in the Constitution about the faith and credit of the United States? And this whole thing about a debt ceiling is just more fake nonsense. And Biden can just say, there's no more debt ceiling. We have to uphold the faith and credit of the United States. And that's that.
That is a profound issue. I am going to address it. I'm going to quick hear from our other callers, and then I will wrap it up, and I will address all of this. Thank you very much for calling. Next up in order, Jean. Jean of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Jean?
Hi, Matt. Thank you for taking my call. Great callers. I really appreciate Paul, Wisco Paul, watching the entire process, because when you get the little tidbits of it on the air, you know, with everybody making a point, you really have to watch this outrageous actions. These criminals should not even be allowed in the Capitol. They shouldn't be allowed near any legal documents, and they all should be locked up and taken out. This is an attack on our country, in my opinion, from the inside out. Not only were they involved in the insurrectionist activities, but they were also involved in the cover-up and the denial. And all they want to do is stop anything they can and make a big noise and hurt our democracy. Everybody was hurting like this. We got to remember what the devil our country went through under Trump, with everybody getting sick, dying, the lies that he told. I mean, come on. And then the different people he put into office that ripped off the people. Wake up, folks. These are criminals. They want to get in there and cover up what they've done. They've asked for pardons. These guys should not be allowed. They should be locked out of that Capitol. So that's my two cents for. Thank you very much, Matt. Thank you so much.
Excellent.
Bye.
As always, and I'm going to come in on that. Andy of Beaver Dam, my friend, you're next. What's on your mind today, Andy?
Well, Kevin McCarthy is nothing but a figurehead leader, because he's given away all of his power to the screwballs. When you compare him to, say, I know some people don't like Nancy Pelosi, but he knew how to work things through with her caucus and so forth. And so all I can see is chaos. Thank God we have Joe Biden as president and we have control of the Senate, because these people are like wolves in the woods and they're just going to knock everything all to hell, whatever they can do. That's about it.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head, Andy, as you always do. Okay, I'm going to respond to all of these this segment because that was very important. It is true. These people, when you let people who are under criminal investigation form a committee to investigate the prosecutors evaluating the evidence and demand the evidence in advance, which is sort of what Trump tried to do by stealing classified documents, you pervert the whole criminal justice system. That's not the law, and no federal judge is going to say it is. And if it gets up to the six tarantulas, they better not say it is or it's changed. And I am confident. What's going to happen, Merrick Garland and these prosecutors, they'll get a subpoena. It takes a lot of guts for a criminal defendant, a target, to subpoena the prosecutor. Now, they're fancy. They think they're fancy. They're in Congress, blah, blah, blah. I think that, remember something, Jordan blew off his subpoena. So did Scott Perry. These are the people who blew off their subpoenas. And now what? They're going to subpoena the guys that are prosecuting them. Give me a break. I want to respond to one thing that Andrew Detroit said about full faith and credit, and it's something that I agree with. If they shut down the government, they are going to say, we're not going to increase the debt limit, so you got to, therefore, cut Social Security and Medicare. And now Jim Jordan wants to cut military spending so no money goes to Ukraine. And the Ruskies can go in and murder and genocide and torture and rape Ukrainian women. Okay. That ain't happening. If I were Biden, and now this would take a certain amount of guts, the 14th Amendment, which is what was being referred to by Andrew of Detroit, said that the debt of the United States shall not be questioned. And it was originally passed because they didn't want to pick up the debts of the Confederacy. So, but the debts of the United States can't be questioned. Do you know? Do you realize that when they say increase the debt limit, it's simply to pay for what's already been authorized and spent already. In other words, in the old days, there wouldn't be a debt limit. If Congress says we're going to spend $1 billion and they issue bonds for that billion, that is a contractual promise to pay off on those bonds. The Republicans say, oh no, we need two votes. One to allocate the money, issue the bonds, and then another one to pay the bonds. Well, let me tell you something. If you ever invest in a bond, you expect to be paid. You don't expect another vote on whether or not you should be paid. If I were Biden, I think what I would say is this. If you're not going to raise the debt limit, the debt that we're talking about has already been allocated. It's already been passed by Congress. It's already been signed by me. The 14th Amendment says that we are going to give it full faith and credit. So I direct, as by executive order, the Federal Reserve to issue the money to pay off these bonds. And what are they going to do? If they go to the six tarantulas at some point, and I'm fantasizing here, I'd say to the tarantulas, back off. You don't get to say that what I do is unconstitutional, but when you do something unconstitutional, it's okay. I'm going to arrest you and take you to Guantanamo. I'm going to treat you well, give you plenty of exercise and good food, and the hell with you, get out of town. I mean, at some point, when your government's taken over by Putin lovers, you take care of business. I'm going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Follow up, finish up on that topic. Gymnasium Jim G.Y.M. Jordan, who blew off a subpoena, is under criminal investigation for helping incite the insurrection, met with Trump in the White House, going over the Green Bay sweep, fake electors, the entire process. Now says he wants to cut military spending too much. Here's what he said, quote, too many generals. He wants to fire some of the flag officers. A flag officer is a term used in the Army, Marines, Navy, and Air Force, referring to someone who's of general or admiral rank. In other words, north of a colonel. In the Army or a captain in the Navy. Now, how the hell does he know there are too many generals? What are this guy's military credentials? He sat around shooting his mouth off. He was an assistant wrestling coach in Ohio. There were allegations that somebody on that staff had abused some kids and that he knew about it and didn't do anything about it. And somehow he avoided responsibility for that. The guy's bad news. He's going to be head of the Judiciary Committee. He's going to launch investigations, and he's going to presume to cut military spending. What he's doing is he's trying to look somehow anti-elitist, as if a general or admiral is elite. They're not elites. These are people who worked hard. They came up, took a lot of risks. They don't make a ton of money. Keep your hands off them. The second thing about the guy is he really wants to cut all military aid to Ukraine. Let Russia invade. Genocide them, be sadistic, rape them, kill them, take over Eastern Europe. It used to be that we had bipartisan support to stand up to the commies, the Chaicoms, the Red Chinese, the Ruskies, and all that. That's not true anymore in the new Republican Party. That's not true with Trump. I mean, Trump was a draft dodger. Many of them are. Some of them, though, are veterans, and some are combat veterans. I obviously respect their service. But the fact of the matter is that they are isolationists to the point they'll let the commies and the Russian mafia and ISIS and everything else just carve up innocent people. They don't care. And they'll shut down the government. They'll try to shut down our military. This has got to stop. Scott Perry, another piece of work from Pennsylvania, right-wing nut, he wants revenge, he said. He wants revenge against the people that are investigating him. They're going to get rid of the ethics committee, so therefore all these ethics investigations against the congressman who blew off their subpoenas aren't going to go forward. But then they're going to subpoena Merrick Garland and prosecutors and anybody and demand to see the evidence against them and try the case or get it dismissed procedurally. That ain't going to work. We're a government of laws, not of men. And the fact is that a criminal should be put in jail, no matter what his position, starting with Trump, going to Jordan and the rest of these guys. Well, let's put this in a little perspective, this attack against democracy back here in Wisconsin. The Republicans have seized on a procedure where they can avoid an Evers veto. They have a veto-proof majority in the Senate, 22 Senate seats and 11 for the Republicans, 11 the Democrats. Actually, it's down to 21 for the Republicans because Alberta Darling stepped down. There's an election, February 24, primary, first week in April, general. Well, for a lot of things, judges and so forth, but also to the 8th Senate District in the northern part of Milwaukee County. Now, when you see that election, if our Democrat wins, and I hope she does, Jody Habersinikin, great candidate, then they won't have a veto-proof majority in the Senate. But if she doesn't win and a Republican gets it, they will. And yet we get 50% or more of the legislative votes for the state Senate, but we only get what? A third of the Senate seats because of gerrymandering. In the Assembly, they are two seats shy of a veto-proof majority, two-thirds, even though we get about 50% of that too. It's not democracy, but let me go beyond that. One of the things that had stopped them were Evers' vetoes. Because if you veto something, a governor vetoes something, and he'll veto all their bills, all the crazy bills attacking our democracy and our private liberties, it takes two-thirds to override it. That's why it's important for them to have a veto-proof majority, which means two-thirds, and they don't quite have it yet in both houses. But they can get around that by a trick, and that is by passing a constitutional amendment and offering it directly to voters on a ballot. The governor cannot veto that. And they are doing that on two things right now. One is they want to get their hands on federal money that comes into the state and then sit on it or give it to their donors in tax cuts and keep it away from Democratic cities like Milwaukee, Madison, Green Bay, and so forth. That's what they're doing. So they've drafted one constitutional amendment that says the legislature gets to spend. Now, this is the gerrymandered legislature. This isn't a democratically elected legislature. It's a gerrymandered legislature gets their mitts on the federal bucks, gets their paws on the federal bucks. And the second thing they're putting in, and this is on bail, is saying that in terms of cash bail, that you set cash bail at a high enough amount, a very high amount, and they dig around with it to try to keep dangerous people out of circulation. Now, on the cash bail part of it, I agree with the notion of keeping dangerous people out of circulation, but what they're doing won't do it. The thing to do is, like in a lot of states, especially out east, if somebody is considered dangerous, like the guy that turned out to run into the Waukesha Christmas parade, that guy got out on $1,000 bail, or this Jennifer Doro, who is running for Supreme Court, and she got a lot of prominence presiding over that trial. What people don't realize, she let another guy go to wind up his court affairs, end quote, while he get ready for prison. You know what the guy did? He went to Illinois and murdered his in-laws. That's cold. I mean, you may not like your in-laws. It's flat out cold to murder him. That's what he did. So she's going to have that to answer for in that race. But in any event, to get back to this, the thing to do is pass legislation, which the governor would sign, saying we're going to evaluate dangerousness. And if somebody is dangerous in the opinion of the judge, he doesn't get any bail. The hell with him. He gets no bail whatsoever. But if he has some nickel and dime thing, he had a bag of marijuana, then maybe he has $100 or $500, that kind of thing. You see what I'm saying? They are passing something for political purposes to say, oh, we believe in cash bail. Well, you can set bail at $10 million, but if it's a Bill Gates type of guy, he'll pay it. What does he care? And if he's a murderer, he'll go out and murder somebody. You should be able to hold somebody with no bail, none, zero, if you think he's dangerous. And then other than that, you set it up at a level that if he's not dangerous, that you will ensure that he comes back. The point is, this should be done legislatively. I want to commend something to everybody's attention who's listening to the show. If you see a constitutional amendment of any kind on the ballot, and you're confused about what it means, because they always have language that's weasel language, do not vote for it, not in this election, not in any election until we have fair maps. Why do I say that? Because it was ginned up by Republicans, by LeMahieu and Voss, with Walker's input. It's in bad faith. It's crooked. Do not amend our Constitution lightly. These kind of things should be taken care of legislatively, where the governor has a chance to veto, or to comment, and then it gets revised, and then he passes it, he signs it. If you see any constitutional amendment, remember back in 2018, the constitutional amendment was take away your right to vote for governor, to treasurer, remember, state treasurer? Sarah Godlewski, who ended up being the state treasurer, stood up tall and organized the effort against that. If you see any constitutional amendment, vote against it. Anyone. Because the odds are it's going to have weasel words and weasel language. And it was passed in a gerrymandered, illegitimate legislature by Voss and LeMahieu, backed up by Walker and people at Ilk and Michaels and so forth. Do not vote for it. You certainly do not vote for anything that says you can no longer vote for state treasurer or lieutenant governor or superintendent of public instruction or secretary of state. That is what they have proposed. They will probably not put that on this ballot. If you vote to remove your right to vote for any office, you are like the people in Algeria, Tunisia, and elsewhere around the world that actually did that. Because the strong man said, I'll take care of it. Do not vote to give up your right to vote, ever. These other two constitutional amendments done to circumvent an Evers veto, or even a suggestion by Evers and the Democrats as how they could be improved, do not vote for it. Do not vote for anything that says the legislature, in its wisdom, will allocate federal money. They will steal federal money. You understand that? You understand that? They're gerrymandered. They're illegitimate. They're no good. They're worthless. They will steal it. They'll figure out a way to screw it up, give it to their donors, or give some of it to a Chinese company who will come in and cheat them. That's what they do. They're naive. They're economically illiterate. And the other one, if they say cash bail, well, why should there be any cash for a murderer to be let out? Why? Other states, if a guy is a danger and they think he's a danger, they don't let him out. You know, you have a guy like, not Gates, but this Peter Thiel, T-H-I-E-L, right-wing Trump guy. You have people elsewhere who will let people out on bail. They'll pay the money. What if the guy kills somebody? This has to be thought out a lot more deeply, you see? A lot more deeply. But here's the magic bullet. You sit back. You go into the voting booth. You decide you're going to vote for Janet Protasiewicz for the Supreme Court because you want to get rid of gerrymandering. If you vote for Dan Kelly or any Republican, they like gerrymandering. So for me, I vote for Janet Protasiewicz. Then I look, and oh my gosh, the constitutional amendments. Immediately say to yourself, fraud. Immediately. This is a Republican-passed thing that's designed to screw you and to take away your right to vote, turn money over the legislature, which is gerrymandered and will be wasted or stolen or allocated to donors. Do not ever vote for a constitutional amendment until we have fair maps, any constitutional amendment. Speaking of which, my heart warms to this. Two friends of mine, two people I know very well, Kelly Gallagher and Kim Mahoney, down in Mount Pleasant in Racine County, are running against that establishment board that enabled Foxconn. Voss is backing them, Walker's backing the other two of them. By them, I mean their opponents. Kim Mahoney had her house taken away from her. She had to go to court. She liked her house. They said, no, we're going to give it to a Chinese company. And she said, well, now, wait a minute. You can only take it for a public purpose, like a highway. Well, we deem giving it to a Chinese company as a public purpose. Seriously, that's what they did. These people don't believe in the Fifth Amendment, due process. Kelly Gallagher, something simple. Kim Mahoney held out and was tough, finally agreed to sell it because she'd been harassed so much. Now, Kelly Gallagher and Kim Mahoney are running for the Mount Pleasant Village Board against two right-wing Trumper pro-Foxconners. Vote for Kelly Gallagher and Kim Mahoney. Remember those names. They're tough, they're smart, and they're honest. And we need somebody tough, smart, and honest on the Mount Pleasant Village Board. And we don't have him right now. Boss certainly isn't that either, and he's backing me. We're going to break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to come back to Wisconsin and go over to the 3rd Congressional District. There's a joker named Van Orden. He got in by a couple of points, beat Brad Paff. That was too bad. Tough district, tough district. Ron Kind took that district. Last time, even though Trump won it, Kind won it. Very, very hard to split, count on splitting ballots. Anyway, Van Orden got it. Van Orden's a piece of work. Van Orden is the guy, he's a Republican, who went out to the January 6th insurrection and used campaign funds to pay for his way out in his hotel. This reminds me of Bolsonaro's people down in Brazil. It just happened. You saw it on the TV the last couple of days. These yahoos go into the Congress down there, the Capitol, and they commit violence, they destroy things. Because it's Bolsonaro, a right-wing nut, Trumper. He's the Trump of South America. Got beaten fair and square in election, lied about it. Now he's in Miami. I have a question, and I have a question, frankly, to Joe Biden. Why do you let Bolsonaro in? He lost. He's no longer the president. You don't have to be nice to the guy. He's in Florida, probably trying to see Trump. Why don't you say to Bolsonaro, no way, Jose, you go somewhere else. We don't want you and your kind. We don't want this. Well, let's get back to Van Orden. So he's out there, and then he lies about whether he was there. He says, this is unbelievable. He says, I don't support political violence. I don't support political violence. He wrote an op-ed in a paper, and he says, I was in D.C. for meetings. Oh, that's a rich one. He was in D.C. for meetings. Meeting with the Capitol Police. What? Where they were defending the Capitol? Oh, and to uphold election integrity. You know, first of all, you have guys going to the insurrection. Then when they're caught, they go, well, I was interested in election integrity. We have more integrity in our elections than any country in the world. And these people are trying to undermine it. Then he claims, I never entered the Capitol. And then I left. Well, if you never entered the Capitol, why'd you leave? I mean, you know, it's one of these things where I have an alibi when the guy was killed. I was in New York. And by the way, if I did kill him, it was self-defense. That's what the guy's saying. There's actually a photo of him on a wall near the Capitol. And there's evidence that he entered an area beyond the police barricades. He's there for meetings. He's there for meetings, getting away with this. And he was wearing earbud headphones. So naturally, people on Twitter said he's using it to communicate with other people who are invading the Capitol. And here's what he told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Quote, I was 450 meters away. That's roughly yards. That's like a football field and a half. No, actually, 100 meters of football field. That's 4.5 football field. You know how far 4.5 football fields is? And he says earbuds on a wall. And there's a photo of him on the wall near the Capitol and evidence that he went beyond the police barricades. That's not 4.5 football fields. And he says, I was wearing these buds, these earbuds, by Dre earbuds. You must not like rap. I like rap. That's a lot of baloney. The guy doesn't look like he likes rap. But what? He likes rap when he's beyond the police barricades to say he's not communicating, folks? No, I wasn't communicating with anybody. No, sir. No, sir. Nobody here but us chickens, boss. No, sir. No, sir. And he says, I walk around with earbuds all the time. What, listening to rap? That is baloney. Baloney. Very few people do that. They're not in Congress, and they're not of his generation. And they asked him, well, why were you listening to music? I always listen to music. Look, one of the things they tell criminal defendants, and this guy is not a criminal defendant, he hasn't been charged, but don't say anything. It's not because you'll say anything to incriminate you, but your excuses are so lame and weird, people look at you and go, this guy is a liar. You're better off not saying anything. And this guy, I mean, he says, no, I'm against violence. I wasn't there. But if I was there, I left. I was there for meetings. Who are they with? I'm not going to tell you. But you what? You had earbuds on listening to rap while you were there for meetings? Because you're ready. I mean, what kind of guy are you? The guy's no good, okay? He's flat out no good. I'm amazed he got, frankly, he got nominated, but I don't know what they're doing in the Republican Party over there. Used to be you had Al Baldus, friend of mine, Democrat, good guy. But then you had Steve Gunderson. I knew Steve Gunderson. He was a Republican, moderate kind of guy, moderate kind of guy. You could do business with him. He wasn't a nut. Then you have Ron Kind, excellent guy, friend of mine, practiced law in my firm for a while. So what happened over there? All I can hope, Brad Paff was an excellent guy, and the two people who ran against him in the primary were excellent too. All I can hope is that 2 years from now, folks come back to their senses over in the 3rd Congressional District. That's an historic district. That's a district of people who know the issues and care about the issues, and they don't easily get lied to and bamboozled. You have a guy who uses campaign funds to go out, what, and wear buds by Dr. Dre, claim he's listening to rap. Claims he's four and a half football fields from the insurrection when there's a picture of him on the wall and then evidence that he went beyond the police barricades. And he says, I wasn't there, and if I was, I left, and I always listened to rap. Well, no, you don't always listen to rap. You're shining me. You're giving me some bad word here. One quick thing I want to worm in at the end, we're coming to the end of the show, great show, was there's just a study in the Pennsylvania vote, and it turns out, you know, they threw out a lot of ballots for not having security envelopes and for not having the full address and all that, and they couldn't all be corrected. Of the ones thrown out, 7,900 of them were Democrats, only 3,500 Republicans, 1,700 independents. What's happening is Democrats have got to do a better job letting people know not to be sloppy in their absentee voting. And I'll leave you one final thing. The Republicans are nuts not to embrace absentee voting themselves. In the past, when I was growing up, people would always say, well, it's a tight election, but the absentee votes aren't in yet, and they always go Republican. Trump and the Republicans made a serious error attacking absentee voting. If they had a brain in their head, they'd support it. They'd urge their people and urge everybody to do it and quit trying to screw around, and they'd even get more votes. Anyway, those are my thoughts. Coming to the end of the show. Great callers as always. Great callers as always. This business of Kevin McCarthy, the kind of the fake speaker, is not going to go away. We're going to talk about it some more. Matt Flynn Direct will be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today.